I'll pray for us as we come to the Lord's Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come here tonight and hear from you, hear your Son's words to us. Thank you that we can celebrate a feast because of what you and what he have done. Pray for you to work tonight as we consider your word and as we come to the table in a little bit. Work by your Spirit, Lord, to help us to see you, to see your love, to see your glory. And work by your Spirit so that we show your love, show the beauty of being redeemed in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it can be relatively easy for us as Christians who read the Word and come to church weekly to underestimate the riches of what God says and does in Jesus. This evening we've heard from the Gospel of John, and in that Gospel Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I go to prepare a place for you. I won't leave you as orphans." He says, "Love as I have loved you." These are all beautiful and rich words, but they can become so familiar to us that we skip over reflecting on them, how we could or how we should. Holy Week is a chance for us to see clearly who our God is and what he does, and to marinate in the depths of the beauty of the gospel. In our reading so far tonight, we have seen how Jesus takes the posture of a willing servant, how he glorifies the Father through his self-giving love, and how he calls us to love just how he has loved us. We've heard how he will not leave us alone, how he will send us his Spirit, and how he will come and make his home with us again. As we learn and consider these things and all that the Scriptures teach about Jesus, he works personally and really in us by his Spirit to bring us to follow him with increasing devotion and love. And tonight, with my homily, I want to take us to a different book in the New Testament. I want us to consider something out of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, as our Lord does the same thing that he does in the Gospel of John through the words in Hebrews. These verses in Hebrews show us very clearly who our God is and what he does in his world through Jesus. They also help us understand the supper that we will partake of in a little bit. If you haven't turned there already, you can turn there now in your Bibles because I'll read it in a couple moments. Let me just offer a few introductory comments to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a book that draws out the greatness of Christ's work and how Jesus is the fulfillment of numerous types or patterns that we see in the Old Testament. In recent months, we've been going through the book of Exodus, and here we have seen how significant it is that the holy, almighty, and eternal God comes and dwells with his people and leads them. For this to happen, something needs to be done about their sin, because God is indeed holy, and we, as his people, and his people, the Israelites, are not holy like he is. He redeems them from slavery, and even after this redemption, they still sin, and something must be done about this. Well, we read about what was done about this sin in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. They describe the old covenant regulations for the priests and God's people that we see in the first five books of the Old Testament. And all of this is context for what God does in Christ and how what Christ does fulfills God's plan in an eternal and monumental way. So let me read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15 for us. It says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Tonight I want to reflect briefly on how in Christ God wills to redeem us for an eternal and beautiful purpose. First, I want to camp out on that eternal purpose. Christ secures our eternal redemption once and for all through offering himself. Hebrews 9:11 starts with the word "but," which draws a contrast between what was explained in verses 1 through 10 and what follows in the rest of the chapter. In verse 9, the author said that the sacrifices of the old covenant could not perfect the people's consciences. This means that God's people will still know and experience the guilt of their sin in a way that weighs and burdens them down. They have no relief from it. Maybe like how we feel when we keep doing sins that we don't want to do. This is why they need to keep offering sacrifices, how God prescribed. But verse 11 continues in our passage by saying that when Christ came, something different happened. It says, he appeared as a high priest of the good things to come. He appeared to bring something new, something world-changing. He accomplishes a work through the greater and more perfect tent, a tent not made with hands or with created things, but the holy place where God himself dwells. The heavenly, glorious place that the tabernacle and the temple all pointed to and anticipated. The dwelling place of the eternal, holy God with all of his hosts. This is where Christ enters. But how does he do this? How does he do this? Verse 12 says that he doesn't do this by the blood of goats and calves like Aaron and his sons. He does it by his own blood. He can do this because of who he is. He's the eternal Son of God, come in the flesh, living in space and time, and dying and shedding his eternal, pure, and human blood for us. Verse 14 says he offered his blood through the Holy Spirit to God. Think about how beautiful this phrase is. Each person of the Trinity has their part in accomplishing this work of redemption. The Son willingly offers himself, the Spirit fills and energizes him to do so, and the Father accepts this offering gladly. What is being accomplished here? Well, it says our eternal redemption. Now, generally, redemption means securing someone's freedom through paying a price. We have seen God redeem his people from slavery in Exodus. And now we see God redeeming his people, redeeming us in Jesus, who sees us as we are, enslaved to sin and doomed to death, and purchasing our freedom through shedding his blood and dying for us. In Hebrews 9, with this lesser to greater argument, the author is bringing out the permanent nature of what Christ has done and the deep riches that we have with God in Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, "If the blood of goats and bulls purifies, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to purify God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." He doesn't just purify our flesh. He purifies our consciences. He changes us from having evil hearts, from experiencing the guilt of sin. He changes us from having consciences that are seared, that only do evil and dead works, so that we can do good things. He frees us from bondage to sin so that we can serve God. His blood both takes away the guilt of our sin and it makes us new so we can serve God. Hebrews 10, verse 22, just one chapter later, says that in him our hearts are sprinkled clean and our bodies are washed with pure water. All this is true because Jesus did it. He became the God-man. He was tempted in every way as we are and did not sin. He faithfully fulfilled his purpose to shed his own blood, and this blood saves us from death and allows us to approach the eternal living God in his heavenly temple. It's here that Christ, our great high priest, stands with God with a physical resurrection body interceding for us. As verse 15 says, he stands there as the mediator of the new covenant. You could describe what Jesus does here in this way as well. Jesus brings heaven down to earth. He makes us on earth right with heaven, and he allows us to partake of heaven until he comes back and brings heaven to earth in full. His work is definitive, it's final, and it's eternal. The question for us is, do we believe this? Do we believe this? Sometimes it can be hard to believe this for ourselves. We know our sinful habits all too well. We are grieved by sin in our lives, sin that we experience around us. But this is who our Savior is, and this is what our triune God does. He accomplishes an eternal redemption in Christ. He does what none of us could ever do. And because of that, he works by his Spirit, the same Spirit that led him to offer himself for us to change us, to really change us. He does this so we can participate in the new covenant reality where we no longer stand condemned before God, where we know God as our Father and call him Father by the Spirit who lives in us, where we experience real healing and transformation in this life, and where we look to his return and our eternal inheritance in him. Next time you doubt your standing before God or the state of your heart condition, next time you do something that you're utterly ashamed of, I encourage you not to look to yourself. Look to Christ. Look to his blood shed for you. And know that he, your new covenant mediator, died for your life and lives to intercede for you. That's what this table, that's what this weekend is all about. So Christ redeems us eternally through offering himself. And I want us to, secondly, to see how God redeems us in Christ, so he makes himself known in his world through us. So he makes himself known in his world through us. We see this beautiful purpose in the last phrase of verse 14. It says, Christ purified our conscience to serve the living God. The living God, we serve him. He does this so we follow the new commandment of John chapter 13, that we love one another as he has loved us. For it is in this that all people will know that we are his disciples. Why would the Lord want us to want people to know that we are his disciples? Well, it's to show his power and his love to save sinners. It's to show the world his good and perfect character, to show the world himself. And he doesn't leave us alone in this work, in this service. Think of the imagery in this passage. Christ is in the Holy of Holies with the Father, and he has given us the same Spirit through which he offered himself as our helper to be with us forever, Jesus says in John 14. He dwells with you and will be with you forever. He helps us to love God by keeping his commandments, and he uses things like this table, the Lord's Supper, to show and seal to us the new covenant reality that we participate in through what he has done. When Jesus set apart this meal, he said the cup was the blood of the covenant. Some translations say the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:15, I read, it says, he is the new covenant mediator because he shed his blood and redeemed those who are called from their sins, so they receive the promised inheritance. Here we see another aspect of God's beautiful purpose in Christ. Not only does he show himself through us, he works in Christ to give us an inheritance. Now we, as people, work hard in life to set aside money that we earn so that we can give an inheritance to people that we love and to causes that we care about, even causes that we love. Well, the same is true for our Heavenly Father, but to an even greater extent. In Jesus Christ, our new covenant mediator, we have an eternal inheritance, a bounty without compare. The next time you have doubts and fears about the future, about your future, you can trust that you have an eternal kingdom inheritance with God the Father and Jesus his Son, who loved us before the foundation of the world. We are beloved heirs in God's eternal, unshakable kingdom. And I think that knowing and believing and enjoying this reality helps us to show the world our God even more. If we dwell on our eternal inheritance right now, as we live each day of our lives, it will influence our interactions, our relationships. It will maybe lead people to see something different about us because we're reflecting on the peace that we have with God that Christ has purchased, because we are thinking about his eternal kingdom, how we can seek that on earth. We don't fear death as other people do. And because we look forward to the ultimate result of our salvation when Christ returns. Hebrews 9:28 speaks of this at the end of our chapter. It says, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, what we've been reflecting on tonight, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He's speaking about what he will do with all of his people when he returns. If we have trusted Christ, this is our hope. When he comes back, we will be delivered into the new heavens and the new earth and will enjoy the presence of our triune God perfectly, without mediation. Until that day, he calls us to show the world how good it is to be redeemed from sin and death, to have our guilt and shame banished in him, to have peace with the living God, and to joyfully worship him. Through worship, this table that we're about to partake of, our risen Lord and Savior seals all of these new covenant realities to us with ordinary things from his world, with wine and grape juice and bread and gluten-free wafers, which I'm not sure what they're made out of. But he seals these beautiful, eternal realities to us through these things. Seals to us the reality that we are transformed, that we are brought from death to life in him, that we are new creations in him, and that he is renewing us each day by his Spirit so that we show him to the world. So may we steep in the eternal purpose that God has for us this evening as we partake and in the coming days. May we know that we are part of this heavenly reality through the love that Christ first showed to us. And may we show this heavenly reality through showing his love to each other. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that nothing can separate us from your love, the love that you have shown in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our High Priest. By your Spirit, work to seal this reality to us day by day. And as you do so, I pray for you to help us to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly. I pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.